If you've looked at the lesson, you know that it is about patience. At the top of page 6, he says, those who serve him patiently believing. If we want to be on the Lord's side, patience is one of the things that we need. Patience is something that hopefully people get a little better with as the years go by, but it is a challenge, often in the younger years and even in the later years. It's also a subject that the Bible has a lot to say about. He mentions at the top of page 6, patience is one of those words we seem to understand but find hard to define. There's a sense, I guess, in which that's true. If we had to offer a general definition for patience, what will we probably say? All right, I think tolerant is basically the idea. You might have a person shuffling the feet. You might have a person, you know, running the hands through the hair or wringing the hands, all kinds of things, and a person tolerates a situation without getting overly upset. So that's generally what we think of as patience, but really the Bible concept of patience goes far beyond this. He says it may well involve some trying and admirable experience with either a person or a situation. And that's right. Sometimes... you know, how many of us have dealt with something that's in the realm of customer service over the years? Okay, probably at least half the class. If you want your patience to be tried, deal with the people. And whether that's a group of young people, whether that's a group of teenagers, whether that's a group of adults, you know, I've never worked in a nursing home. But I thought out of all the jobs I could have that would be frustrating, you're dealing with people who can't see, they can't hear, sometimes they can't think real well. There are occasions where medicine will do strange things to them. Or you think about a hospital environment. What those doctors and nurses, especially the nurses and the other caregivers, have to go through. You're seeing people who are sick. You're feeling, you know, seeing people who are grouchy, and you know you really have to have some thick skin and be able to deal patiently with some people. There's certainly, you know, things in life that are frustrating and things that will test our patience, but also when we think about this topic, people will certainly go ahead and test our patience. They can be. You know, you find people in the younger years, in the middle years, in the older years that are demanding, but sometimes people in the later years, I mean, it's kind of like, well, I don't think I have much time left, so hurry up, get it done. You know, at all ages, but you do find that sometimes. People don't feel well, maybe in the later years, and, you know, they want a nap, or not everybody is. And for the Christian, we want to try to avoid that. Okay, he also, in about sentence 3 on page 6, he says, impatience may be realized... That doesn't make sense. Impatience may be realized the fact that the race is not necessarily to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Passage from Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, he also pulls from Ecclesiastes a little later in the lesson, because it's a good practical chapter. And also back there... point number one, we'll see Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 8 and 9 in just a minute. And then he, of course, reminds us about the tortoise and the hare, that old story, and the tortoise's steady, determined gait, you know, actually won the race. And for us, that's a good lesson as far as patience, if we'll endure. And many times when we see the word patience or that concept in the scriptures, it's from a word that has not just the sense of, you know, be patient, you know, don't get angry, but patience oftentimes has the sense of you continue, you persist, you don't give up, you continue to the end. So if you do that and you have the good spirit, the right spirit, then you have really the full Bible definition of patience. And when you think about that story of the tortoise and the hare, do you get the impression that the tortoise had a good attitude? It's been a while since I've looked at that story, but that's kind of the impression I'm left with. It wasn't complaining and groaning and whining and moaning. But that's the direction that we want to go. Then likewise, we've been thrilled by the writings of men, such as Edgar Guest, the common man's poet. His poem, It Couldn't Be Done, began each stanza with the scorn of the pessimist and closed each one with the philosophy of the optimist, who started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. When we look at our country and elsewhere, but especially in our country, a lot of times people fail for what reason? Well, there are a couple of reasons, I guess. All right, they don't have the patience. They try something one time, it doesn't work. It doesn't work as well as what they thought. So, all right, let somebody else do it. Let's try something else. Let's make it easier. Let's find something that's quicker. Let's find something that's cheaper. And that's not the spirit that builds a great country. Then do you have some people that also are so lacking when it comes to patience, they refuse to try?
Yeah.
There's some people that don't get to the first base. Well, we could do that. We could try that, but it's going to take so much, you can just fill in the blank. Because they're not patient enough to make that initial upfront investment. Do you think that sometimes affects people religiously?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try to become a Christian. Why? All this stuff we think is required. And I just don't have the patience. I don't have the interest in fooling with it. So there has to be that initial desire. Somebody, I think, wanted to go ahead and offer a comment to my left. Okay. All right. Anything you want to add or ask before we pick up with the next paragraph? He references lesson one. He said, we saw back in that previous lesson, the Israelites, because they had lost track of Moses. Were they patient?
No.
No. You know, let's go ahead and Aaron, we'll bring you the gold that we have. You fashion that into a golden calf, and these will be the gods that go before us. They even, as the writer says, attributed to the golden calf to the power that led them out of Egypt. So just a short time from moving in the direction that was right, they degenerated from the true worship to idol worship, and there was a consequence for that. What happened to them?
Died
in the wilderness. Well, today that same problem will affect people spiritually. If we're not patient, if we're not willing to try to endure, God says, you're going to collapse. I made the point not long ago in a sermon. Somebody said, well, I never really looked at it that before. But you think about the path to life. And we said that path to life is just littered with spiritual corpses. If we can think of the road to heaven as a path or a roadway all along the way, you just see some over here and some over here and some in front, some behind you. And a lot of people have gotten off track spiritually because they were not spiritually patient. So there has to be, as we look at a lot of things in life, parenting is a really good example. You know, it would be nice if we could just go ahead and within the first 6 months of life have everything solved when it comes to kids. All the discipline problems and, you know, every other little thing. But if we're going to, do what needs to be done when it comes to childbearing, do you think we have to be patient? Be patient for those 18 years. Be patient for the next many, many years. Because there are going to be things that come up through life that really test and try the patience. Anything that you want to touch base on before we pick up with paragraph 3? He says next, it is next to impossible. And I think I'd back that down a little bit, dial it back and say maybe it's hard. I don't think I'd literally say it's next to impossible for the impetuous, the impatient person to be on the Lord's side. It is possible, but it's probably going to be a little bit more difficult, especially for the person who's impatient, maybe not so much impetuous, but the impatient person, Christianity is probably going to be a struggle just like anything else. So before going any further into the lesson, we need to look at some of the scriptures dealing with patience. We start with 2 at the bottom of page 6, Ecclesiastes 7, verses 8 and 9, Sherman. And then after that, Luke chapter 21, verse 19. All right, Carolyn. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 8 and 9. We'll have it read, and then we'll fill in the blank.
The end of the thing is better than its beginning. The patient spirit is better than the prowling spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools.
Okay, before we fill in the first blank, let's think about the initial part of Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Why would that be true? The end is better than the beginning, at least in some cases. All right. You know, we'd say, hey, you know, the ride is over. And, we've had the experience, and now we're not having to wait out there for, you know, another 45 or 60 minutes. So you've had the experience. That would be true in some cases. Why else? The end's better than the beginning.
Results.
All right, the results. We may have a project that we're planning and working on, and we sort of have an idea what it's going to be like, and we're excited, but even though we lose maybe a little bit of the excitement, at the end we can now say it's completed. Look at this. We've accomplished this. This is finished. Now it can go on to some other things. So both of those are good answers. Anything else? Well, okay, Sherman, you, I think, started the answer first.
It's hard to get started.
All right, that's another thing. A person said, I've been working on this for a long time, and it was really difficult to make progress. And now, look, we've come to a point where we're not having to be back there at the beginning. So, yes, that would be a good answer. And then one more?
Yeah, the end of the week is better than the beginning. If you work all week, you're going to get paid.
Sure. The fruits are sometimes what we emphasize at the end of something. Right. You know, at the end of the month, whenever people are paid, it's kind of like, well, this is a good day. People look forward to Friday or whatever the payday is. Let's fill in our blanks. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the who in spirit?
Patient.
Patient in spirit is better than the?
Proud.
Proud in spirit. Well, we find a lot of people in the proud in spirit category, but God says it's better to be in the patient category. We find more people in the proud category because that's a lot easier. It takes almost no effort to be filled up with pride. But if we're going to be patient, that does require a great deal of work. So God says, choose the right thing. Then he says, be not what?
Hasty.
Don't be quick-tempered in thy spirit. That's going to result in things like anger. For anger rests in the bosom of fools. So if we strive to be patient, God says this is going to be a blessing. It is going to require some work on your part, but it has many, many benefits. So if you want to be one of my people, if you want to be on the Lord's side, strive for patience. Then Luke 21, verse 19.
In your patience, possess ye your soul.
Okay, this is in the context of the destruction of Jerusalem many years ago, about 40 years after Jesus went back to heaven. And the Roman armies were going to come, and here in Luke's account, if you're patient, you're going to possess, you're going to win your souls. And that word soul here seems to have the sense of life. You know, if you were being attacked by an army, you think you might need a little bit of patience? You just are impatient, impetuous, you decide to run out the city gate. Well, that might not be the best choice. That might cost your life. But Jesus said, ye be patient. Ye be willing to hold on. You'd be willing to follow my instructions, and in doing that, you can preserve your life, physical life. Anything that you want to touch base on before we pick up with the top of page 7? Okay, some more references. Let's pick up our next three, Romans 15, verse 4, Steve. After that, Titus 2, verse 2, Scott. And then after that, Brian, we'll ask you to pick up James 1, verses 2 and 3. Romans 15, 4.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope.
Now, we use this verse at various times here. Generally, though, when we use the verse at Goshen, or when I use this particular verse, my emphasis is twofold. Learning from the Old Testament, it's valuable. It has several lessons. We're not under that testament today, but it does provide us several things. And the Old Testament Scriptures are said to comfort us. But if we look carefully at Romans 15:4, we find that there is a third thing. Paul also says, written for our learning, and we certainly get comfort from what? The Scriptures, but we also pick up from them that we, through patience. This word is associated with the Old Testament. Well, we can find patience. He'll mention Noah a little bit later. You think Noah had to be patient?
Yeah. 20 years.
Yeah. Abraham, he had to be patient. You think about the promises that were also made to Isaac and Jacob. You think about Job, he had to be patient. You think about the Old Testament prophets. God said, go out there and preach. And for many of those fellows, like Jeremiah, it was not a pleasant experience. But, they teach us patience. Steve?
ESV, instead of patience, uses the word endurance.
All right, and that's what I said earlier. That's a good translation, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. Because biblical patience, we said we have these two components, remember? Patience means you kind of, you're not getting angry, you're putting up with things, but at the same time, you also are willing to endure. You're willing to go ahead and persist. You're not going to throw in the towel. So you may see that kind of translation in some of the verses that we look at, because that's trying to bring out the fact that the world's definition of patience is far less than the biblical definition for patience. So thank you for that. All right, let's pick up then with Titus 2, verse 2.
That the aged man may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity,
okay, the older men, be sober, be grave. They need to be serious. And then temperate, they should be people who are not easily ruffled, sound in the faith, in charity. And then they also need patience. Do you think Paul would have written this statement had this not been an issue for some people? He probably said these old men. And maybe in that day and time, 40 was old. People didn't live nearly as long as they did today, so we're not necessarily talking about somebody that would be in the senior years, quote-unquote, if you will. So even for the people now that we would think of as being in the middle years, Paul said you need to be patient. I recently had a chance, didn't know this guy, but was sitting in a public place and wanting to focus on some other things, but this fellow was extremely talkative. I'm guessing he was probably mid-70s, maybe late 70s. He'd been a pharmacist. at Goshen Hospital, and he kind of wanted to go back and, you know, rehearse some of his history. And his set of circumstances, from what I could tell, were not all that desirable. But, you know, here he is. He's sitting. He's waiting on some people, probably not in a place where he really wants to be. And yet, in spite of all that, he's patient, at least from everything that I could tell. Just wants to strike up a conversation with somebody and talk. And I thought, well, I don't know if you're a religious man or not. But regardless, a good example of patience. But you can find some older folks today that are impatient. Can you think of some examples? I'm not going to pick on the old people, but sometimes they serve as a good example. Can you think of some examples? What was that, Steve?
I said, you already started.
Yeah.
You leave your mother alone.
Older folks, lack of patience. Can you think of some examples, Brian?
When I'm sitting with my dad at the nursing home at lunchtime, or at any of the meals, everybody is waiting. Everybody wants to be served right now. And I don't know if that would be any different if we're teenagers in the room, but it seems like that's the problem with the old people there.
Yeah, you do find that. And it's not like that's an unusual set of circumstances. I mean, if they feed folks two or three times a day, unless it's an unusual day, I mean, it's going to, you know, be, hey, this is your shift, this is your time, and this is going to be true for breakfast, it's going to be lunch at this time, and it's going to be supper at this particular time. So you do find that. Some other things as far as impatience. You ever see somebody that's got a cane, shake it at them? Why, you young whippersnapper? You know, that kind of thing. Well, I don't suspect that they're real patient at that particular day and time. You ever see, and once again, health, and I'm not, you know, mocking folks for this because there are some situations that arise, but people don't feel well in health. And, you know, just to give you kind of a scenario, it's probably frustrating to most of us, but especially an older person that can't stand up real well, maybe trying to stabilize himself or herself in the car, and they've got three or four people ahead of them in the grocery line. And the clerk is in a real chatty mood. Just wants to chat and, you know, talk about the products that are being, oh, hey, I like that cheese. And, oh, boy, that milk's probably, you know, you probably should have gotten 1% instead of the 2. You see the older person back there, and they're anything but patient. You know, just kind of biting the lip, and you can see the hands kind of, you know, turning white, the knuckles turning white because they're digging into the shopping cart. So that may not be quite as visible as the lady that's banging her cane around, but you see that. What about around town, driving? Senior citizens may not be in the biggest hurry in the world. I mean, it's not like they're having to get to a job at, you know, this time or that time. But, you know, maybe they just want to get down to the grocery store. Light's not turning as fast as they think it should. Or somebody's not moving along as quick, you know. You know, they just lay on the horn. So people can do that at any age. But when we think about seniors, sometimes they can and sometimes do serve as a good example of people who are not patient. Dolores?
Sometimes, too, I'm using my own mother as an example. Sitting in the house, and all she had to do was think about everything that had to be done. And if something's not done in the yard fast enough, or if something wasn't done in the house fast enough, then, you know, let's get with it. It had to be on her timetable.
It's true, and we never know what's going
to
happen towards the end of life with people. You know, we might be some of the worst patients that a caregiver ever deals with, but hopefully in this life, we will pick up some of these lessons early, and then when we get to that stage of life, if we still have our faculties, we'll be able to think back and say, I remember that Bible class, and I, even at the end of my life, need to be a good example, and I need to be patient. And I'm thinking specifically about some cases where you tell someone, hey, I'm going to come by, you know, grandma, mom, dad, whoever it is, a person who may not be able to get out very often, and you say, I'm going to be by at noon. Well, you know, if they're on the list of stops, you might not be there at noon. You might be there at 12:15, or you might be there at 12:30. And when you say about noon, you mean close to noon. But are there not cases where about noon is translated into exactly 12 o'clock or 5 till? And if you're not on it, I mean, if you're not Johnny on the spot, you get laid into. I mean, it's almost better to take a whipping than to show up 5 or 10 minutes late. Well, again, that happens all the time, and hopefully we'll pick up this particular lesson, and if we get to the later years, apply it. There was a hand before you, I thought, and before Stan. Scott.
When I used to drive by him before, he was a handicapped man, and put his wheelchair in the back seat and told me, you know, because he won't strap in, because he doesn't want to be strapped in. He was like, well, don't go too fast. But everywhere we went, he would tell me, we got to hurry up and get there. You need to go fast.
Yeah. All ages, but it's a good lesson for us. We need to be patient with those who are impatient, and those who are impatient need to learn how to be patient. Dolores, and then Stan will take you.
I think he was first, but I'm foggier in mind probably.
Okay, Stan will take you and then backtrack to Dolores.
One of the things that you need to recognize with elderly people, a lot of times it's not a matter of patience as much as it is fear. And if you are or deviate from a time schedule, they don't necessarily become impatient. They become afraid. Mm-hmm. They've either forgotten something, that it was the wrong day, the wrong hour, mm-hmm. or that you've forgotten, and they're not going to be taken care of. So a lot of times what we count as impatience on the part of elderly people has a lot more to do with fear.
And that's a very good, important, and very bright observation, because if you listen to people as they speak, they'll say, well, I was concerned about you. May have also been a little impatient, but fear, in at least some cases, is going to be the primary thing that concerns them. So once again, we want to be as close to the promised time as we can be as regular as we can, because you do have those issues. So very, very thoughtful. Dolores?
And that's very true. But what I was thinking more on the lines of is, sometimes we've raised very impatient children. You know, our children want it, and they want it now. And sometimes if you have four kids and you don't want to hear them all at once, you go ahead and shove it to them anyway, whether it should be something that should be dealt with or not. And it seems like we're raising more and more impatient children. And impatient children become impatient young adults. And impatient young adults become unbearably impatient older people. You know, it does create a cycle. If you are a very, and I'm not taking away from what he said, but if you are a very impatient young woman or someone in your 40s, when you're in your 70s, that's not going to change. Usually it's going to get worse and it's going to magnify itself.
Yeah, it will. And that he doesn't really talk about kids in this particular lesson. But this lesson does need to be taught and learned at the earliest time in life. And if parents do not teach their kids about patience, they're going to have some huge, huge issues. So it really is one of the fundamental things that should be taught in the home. And, you know, there are going to be times where you're trying to pacify three or four, so okay. But generally, it is a very, very important lesson to communicate. Because as we look at our society, people are not generally patient. Just don't see it. Virginia?
A lot of times it's things the older person can't do. Mm-hmm. And you have to sit and wait and wait and wait when somebody else can come and do it for them. Mm-hmm. It's not easy sometimes.
Right. No, it's not. You find that same kind of thing in the hospital. A person wants this, maybe, you know, he's a little thirsty, maybe a little hungry, maybe there's something that needs changed in the room. And if you talk to some of the nurses, maybe Marcia can offer a little insight here, but I think you probably got some people, I mean, boy, they're just, you know, punching the old buzzer and just about going over to the hallway and, hey, I need some help.
But you know, in the hospital, I know a little bit about what goes on there because I got family that works in there. They're understaffed.
Yeah, but we saw that with Scott lately as far as people actually, staff actually saying, hey, we are really, really shorthanded. And instead of understanding that, and we know that sick people... Right, we know that sick people are sick, but oftentimes there's not much understanding there. And if there's a way to demonstrate Christianity in the hospital, I think that's one of the ways. They deal with impatient people 7 days a week. So hopefully we'll demonstrate that quality and say, hey, you know, that'll give us a chance to talk to them about the Bible and they'll be more receptive.
When I was growing up in the hospital, if we had a family member that went to the hospital back then, usually some family member went along and they did a lot of things for the person that was sick that the nurses don't have to do.
Yeah.
But they don't do that now.
Yeah. Is there one more hand? Okay, let's pick up with the next reference then. This is going to come from James 1, 2, and 3. Brian, is that yours?
Yes.
Okay.
My brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Okay. All joy? Well, that's a little hard to swallow. All joy when you fall where? Divers temptations. That word divers has a sense of many colors. I don't know that folks are really enthused or really patient when they fall into a single temptation. You think about some of the things that can happen. The car, you're on a trip, the car conks out halfway across the country, 9 o'clock at night, no tow truck, cell phone's dead, no motel in sight.
Be happy.
Yeah. That's usually not something that a person's going to say, well, hey, thank God for this. It's going to help me go ahead and grow and increase my patience. That's probably going to be a frustrating time. But there are all kinds of diverse temptations that come, but James says, knowing this, that the testing or the trying of your faith is going to work patience. Can you think of some times, other than what I just mentioned, where the patience of a person is tested and the result of that is actually positive? I'm not looking for a specific example necessarily from our lives, but some things that might be fairly common in the lives of others. An experience that allows a person later in life to look back on that and say, hey, that helped me a little bit in the patience category.
Not having everything you need.
All right, I think that's one thing. If you grow up, we talk about the silver spoon in the mouth. The person has, I mean, whatever they want, whenever they want. But another person, I remember I'd wanted a metal detector. I can only remember, you know, probably just two or three things as a child that I really, really wanted. And I mean really important to me. And a metal detector was one of those things. And, you know, I'm saving up, get a few bucks when the birthday comes, and I had probably a Folgers coffee can. I just remember it was a coffee can. I think it was probably Folgers at the time. But anyway, kept that under the bed. And if I found some spare change, if I got some money for a birthday, whatever it was. And I finally got about 50 bucks. And Mom and Dad finally put a little with it because they saw that I was patient for that. And I got a metal detector that I really enjoyed for a long time. Now, had they given that to me and some other things, I think that probably, you know, I may not have turned out drastically different, but that helped me to realize, and I probably saved a couple years for that, but, you know, little by little. You know, there's some things that helped me realize that to build some things, you're just going to have to go in small increments, and eventually you'll get there. So that's one. Don't give someone all that they may want or think they need at the time. Scott, did you raise your hand? Somebody else did.
When I was in the hospital after my heart procedure, you know, I'd always been, you know, really strong. When I drove you out of bed, I couldn't stand up, and I had to do physical therapy every day. You know, day after day after day, it got really, really hard. And I understood that I had to be patient, that, you know, my strength would come back, but it just, you know, couldn't come back fast enough.
Okay, health issues are a good teacher when it comes to patients. Virginia mentioned a few minutes ago about not being able to do some of the things that you do. You break an arm, and it's the arm that you primarily use for the things in life. You break both arms, you're going to have to learn some patience there. You just have no way to go and do what you normally did. Or you're accustomed to walking a lot, and you break a leg or sprain a leg, I mean, it's going to slow you down. And initially there may be temptation to feel a lack of patience, but once again, it's going to be useful in trying to teach you this particular lesson. Dolores or Sherman?
I know many of us probably experienced going through a job change, job loss. When you're going through
sure.
that, you think, boy, what's next? And I found out for me it's really a blessing in so many different ways, but I mean, at the time, you know, what am I going to do?
It's
hard to deal with.
Right. When you're going through a job change, it could be a move. All of those things can only proceed so quickly. And you just have to learn to take a day at a time and process things as they come. So it's another really good way to learn patience. Anything else as far as a suggestion? Well, what about raising kids? Some days when you might like to trade them in? I think most parents, if they're honest, they look back over the years and say, I had at least one or two of those days. But you patiently endure. You say, okay, we're going to hang tough with this set of circumstances, and we're also going to go ahead and kind of see the big picture. And it's rough today and maybe rough for a while, but we are going to go ahead and persevere and get through it. So he says, count it all joy when you go through those kinds of things. You may get some gray hairs out of it. You may have a couple years knocked off your life, but in the end, James says it's worthwhile. Our next two references. Number 6 is based on 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Let's get somebody over there, Scott. And then after that, we'll pick up with Hebrews 6, verse 15. Sherman. Scott, if you're ready, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14.
Now we exhort you, brethren, more than that are unruly, comfort by the five feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men.
Okay, now we've seen the word patient several times in the lessons that we've looked at thus far, but now we find something added. Be patient towards all men. If you think about how people talk, oftentimes they'll say, well, I love almost everybody. But there's this neighbor, there's this coworker, there's this person somewhere. And they just drive me absolutely nuts. I can't stand him. Most people have at least one or two people that if they could get free from them, they would like that. But oftentimes, that person that's the most irritating is how close to us. They're almost, I mean, they're not the next door neighbor. Or they're the coworker. They're somebody that's just around the block, or they're somebody that, you know, likes to call, send us email. I know Mom has some people that love to email her stuff, just forward stuff. And she said, well, you know, how can we set up the computer so we can get rid of these forward emails? So I said, well, we can set that up, but I've just got to keep a mental note handy that if I want to send something to Mom, I make sure it doesn't say forward in the subject line, otherwise she's not going to see it. But people sometimes do really frustrate us. But God says, learn this quality. And apply it how broadly? Everybody. This kind of takes you back to the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't it? Remember, Jesus said even the Gentiles, even the publicans love their own. So when it comes to patience, if we're patient with the people that we love and care for, that's no big deal. Because the world even does that. But God says to his people, they're a couple steps above what the world does. And this is where I want you to be. And to go back to what Dolores said earlier, if we can teach that principle to our children and they will get in the habit of practicing that, they're going to be blessed. And our lives are going to be much, much easier. Anything you want to add around on that point? Okay, Hebrews 6, verse 15.
And so after you have patiently endured, you obtained the promise.
Okay, when we think about Abraham, bad man, okay man, or really great man?
Great man.
He was a really great man. God spoke about him very, very highly. Certainly the Jewish people spoke about him very highly. And as we look at what the Hebrew writer says, he patiently endured and then, of course, received the promise. So one of the things that was great about Abraham was that he was willing to endure. Was he perfect when it came to patience? No. Tried to hurry a couple things up, which wasn't the right thing to do. But as far as what he said about his wife, Sarah, you know, being a sister, he should have been, you know, more patient as far as waiting. So he's a good example of the fact that we're not always as patient as we should be. But we try to learn from those failings and do better. Anything that you want to add or ask before we pick up with James 1:12? Who'd like to be a reader? James 1, verse 12. All right, Lisa, I saw you first. Our blank, blessed is the man that does what? When it comes to temptation, he endures it. And then the writer says, for when he's tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Well, God says, I've got some good things for folks. But if you want the good things that I have for you, what's necessary? You've got to be tested. You've got to be tried. And you've got to endure the testing. You've got to be patient. Now, for a lot of people, when they think about heaven, and I kind of wish it would work like this. It would be nice if we didn't have to go through the manifold trials. It would be nice if we didn't have to be tested in the kinds of ways that the Bible describes. It would be maybe great if we didn't have to endure it. But God says, if you want what I have, you're going to have to, in some respects, have the trial by fire. And you're going to have to persevere. That goes back to what I said earlier. When you look at the path to life, it is literally littered with spiritual corpses. And we don't want to be one of those folks. that dots that path to heaven that we fell short. And patience is going to be one of the things that we need to be saved. Without that, we will not make it. Then he goes on to say sometimes people lose their patience when the trials are severe. Can you think of some examples that would fall into that category? Severe trials, where a person says, if it had been less, I would have stuck with it, but the problems are just too bad, too hard, I'm going to quit. Christian life. What about the death of a child? Think some people have allowed that to destroy their faith? Yeah. What about a person who had a mom or dad? Let's say that the mom or dad was in the 40s. We would expect that mom or dad would have lived another 30 or 40 years. And the parent had a terrible illness. People prayed. The parent died. You think some people have turned back? They've not been patient because in their mind God didn't answer that prayer and restore the life to the parent? It's happened. Some other things that have caused a person to say, we're not going to endure because of this trial. All right. Here's another person. Gambling, alcohol, pornography, smoking. You can just go down the list, and there are all kinds of things where a person would say, well, you know, I tried. You weren't patient. You know, maybe you tried it for 3 months, 6 months, and it wouldn't even have to be from a Christian standpoint. There are some people, for example, when it comes to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, they try for a little while, and people say, well, I fell off the wagon. I didn't endure. Well, if you're just looking at it from a secular standpoint, that's probably not a good thing, but from a spiritual standpoint, it's deadly. Anything else? Severe trials. All right. You think about a person that has had in the past a spouse, and that spouse is no longer with that individual. Severe trial. You think because that marriage has come apart, or you think about a person who's lost their mate, a widow or widower. You think some people have given up? God took my mate. I'm done with him. Well, yes, you've lost your mate. But God says you need to be patient. You need to continue. What about a split in the congregation? Think some people have quit the Lord because of what happened in the local congregation? Yeah. Been happening for a long, long time. So the list just goes on and on and on. But God says you be patient. Whatever the circumstance, you just, you know, you keep looking. As the Hebrew writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Anything that you want to add or ask before we turn to the next major section? Stan?
We talked about perseverance, endurance, etc. as far as patience is concerned. I see people who were patient and endured and died of a heart attack. It can create a lot of stress sometimes because a situation comes up that you need to hang in there, but you need to sometimes, whether it's keep your mouth shut or what your actions are or whatever. One of the things the author didn't mention was the fact that Paul said, whatever your situation is, learn to be content in that situation too. So I think along with patience, a person needs to learn that in that patient situation, that there also needs to be the ability to accept that situation and be able to live with it so that it doesn't create a situation where you end up with high blood pressure or a stroke or whatever.
I'm going to tie in here some information from Philippians 4. That's the passage that you referenced, and that would be about verses 4 through 6 or 4 through 7. And then as you turn towards the end of the chapter, Philippians 4, he says, beginning in verse 12, I know how to be abased, and I know how also to abound in everything. And in all things have I learned the secret, both to be filled and be hungry, both to abound and be to want, be in want. So, and then we'll read a few more verses, but you're exactly right. He's saying, I have been willing to be patient, but at the same time, I've also learned how to deal with that. Because it's one thing just to say, I'm going to put up with this stuff. And if that just gets bottled up and it's somehow not processed or dealt with in the right way, then you only have half the equation. And it's just like going, it's like a ticking time bomb, and it is not going to go well. Then he goes on to say in 13, I can do all things in him that strengthens me. Howbeit ye did well that ye had fellowship with my affliction. And ye yourselves know, ye Philippians, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church had fellowship with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but ye only. So that was a difficult time for him. But Paul said, I persevered. And also, looking at things in the right way through Christ, I did receive that assistance I needed. And then back in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So without that second component, and I'm very glad that you mentioned that, if we do not have that in place, then all of this information about persevering is going to be lopsided. And it can cause, and has sometimes, literally caused a meltdown among folks. So you've got to have that intact. Anybody else want to contribute something there? Okay, 3 minutes left. And not a good breaking point. Let's at least pick up with the next section. The Lord's return, when we think about being patient. He mentions in the first century there were people, especially among the Thessalonians, they thought Jesus was going to return within their lifetime, within the first century. And as we look at the Thessalonian correspondence, it seems like some had quit their jobs. It's like, we're just going to sit out here on the mountaintop and wait for the Lord, and you know, we're going to persevere, but that perseverance is not going to involve our regular secular activities. So Paul assures them that there would be, there are some things that they needed to keep doing because we don't know when the Lord is going to return, and that second coming of Christ had not occurred, so they didn't need to believe some of the people that were teaching some false things about the return of Jesus. He says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 4, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not... Somebody want to read that for us? Verses 1 through 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, and then we'll fill in the blanks. Scott. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, 2 Thessalonians.
Now I beseech you, brethren, by coming to our Lord Jesus Christ, and by gathering together unto him, that ye not be soon shaken in mind, and be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and a man in the sin. And a man of sin to your revealer, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is God, for his worship, so that he is a God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God.
Thank you. Now, we read up to the blank that ye be not sin shaken. Don't be disturbed. Don't be upset. Don't be concerned. You just go ahead and you persevere. You stay on this road of patience and everything's going to be okay. That's the same message that we need today. Don't be soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Once again, don't be upset. Just be patient. Neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. That the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a... There's going to be a falling away. That'll come first. And there has to be the man of sin. He's going to be revealed, the son of perdition or the son of rebellion, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So God has a plan. Paul told the Thessalonians that plan is going to be fulfilled, and if you are patient, if you are willing to persevere and pursue what's right, everything's going to be okay. So you sit tight. Don't worry about these people that are making claims about the Lord's second coming. You've not missed it, and you will not miss it. So it's something that everybody will be aware of.